It's the dictionary.
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 Hey, 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 word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. What's up, everybody? My name is Spencer, and I am recording this on April 4th, 6:57 a.m. Why don't we talk about some words? Okay, the first word in this episode is excerpt. Let's see, you can say excerpt, excerpt, with a G and a Z sound, excerpt, excerpt, or egg-zerpt. Emphasize either syllable. It is spelled E-X-C-E-R-P-T, first form. I think I like to say excerpt, with a K and an S sound. This is a transitive verb from the 15th century. Number one, to select for quoting. And the thing that you are selecting, you are pulling it out of a hat, is a passage. The synonym is extract. Extract, which that's going to be up a handful of episodes from now. So you are excerpting. Yes, because this is the verb. You are excerpting a passage from a book, and you are quoting it in the thing that you are writing. Maybe it's a collection of essays. Maybe you need proof of what somebody said. Whatever it is, you're taking an excerpt. We're going to get to the noun in the next word. Number two is to take or publish extracts from. From where? For like a book. That's probably where you're getting these passages from. Extracts. Excerptor? 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 Excerpt. Now, I've never really used this word as a verb, so I don't know how I pronounce that one. Am I excerpting? Yeah, maybe you emphasize the second syllable more often. Excerpt. So excerptor or excerptor, that is a noun. That is the strangest villain I've ever seen, just pulling quotes from things all the time. That's all they do. An excerption, that is a noun. This word is from the verb, the Latin verb, excerpere, excerpere, which is from the ex prefix plus the word carpere, which means to gather or pluck. I'm just gathering quotes all around, plucking, plucking, gathering quotes. My favorites are the quotes. I am an excerptor. There's more at the word harvest. So yeah, that's what harvesting is. You're gathering the fruits and the vegetables and whatever else is that you're growing, and you are excerpting them from the farm onto your plate or wherever they're going. Yeah, okay, that was good. Let's make a sound effect. The next word is the noun excerpt. This is the one that I pronounce with an emphasis on the first syllable. Excerpt or excerpt. Second form noun from 1627. This is a passage selected, performed, or copied. And the examples are, the passage could be coming from a book or a musical composition. And there's probably other examples too, etc. Let's see. The synonym is the word extract. That's the noun. That's the extract. It has been extracted from the thing. All right, I think we know about excerpt plenty. Next is the first form of excess. You could say excess or excess. It's spelled with an E, so I like to say excess. First form noun from the 14th century. Number 1A. The state or an instance of surpassing usual, proper, or specified limits. And the synonym is superfluity, superfluity, or superfluity. I don't know where the emphasis is. Superfluity. Okay. Well, so it's all about surpassing, going beyond what the limits are of this thing. Excess. What is this? It's a noun. So it is an excess. There's two more forms after this. So it's the state of going beyond those limits, or an instance of going beyond those limits. I am in excess because I bought too many purses. Okay, 1B is the amount or degree by which one thing or quantity exceeds another, as in the example, an excess of 10 bushels. So they went beyond 10 bushels. They went to 11 bushels. This amplifier goes to 11 bushels. Number 2, undue or immoderate indulgence. The synonym is intemperance. Also, an act or instance of intemperance, as in prevent excesses and abuses by newly created local powers. That is a quote from Albert Shanker with an SH. So undue or immoderate indulgence. So the quote again is prevent excesses and abuses by newly created local powers. So maybe there's a new city and there is a government, a people in power in this new little city, and they, for some reason, have decided to overindulge in their new power, and they are going into excess. I don't know what Albert was talking about. Something. There's a phrase, in excess of, and it means to an amount or degree beyond, and the synonym is over. You have gone over your limit. You have gone in excess of the 10 bushels. We need you to keep to the 10 bushels. Otherwise, we don't got enough bushels for the other people who need bushels. Okay, let's see. Etymology. What do you have to tell me? This is from the Latin excessus, which means departure or projection, from the verb excedere, which means to exceed. So that's what it is. Departure, projection. You have departed from the natural limits that you are supposed to stay within. The second form of excess is, I guess it's pronounced the same way, excess or excess. This one's the adjective from the 15th century. More than the usual, proper, or specified amount. More than just what's normal or proper. Excess. I want a sentence of how you use this adjective. There's an excess. Well, there's probably, which form would this be? The noun? Probably the noun. There's an excess of sweetness in my coffee because I don't like coffee by itself, and so I need to add the sweetness to it. An excess sugar? Yeah, you're describing the sugar as excess because there's too much of it. More than what is normal, the usual amount that people put in their coffees. The third form of excess is a transitive verb from 1971, to eliminate the position of. And the example is excessed several teachers because of budget cutbacks. And I don't really know where the emphasis goes on this one. Excessed several teachers. Excessed several teachers. So many S sounds in this episode. So we have eliminated these teachers. We have fired them, let them go. Hopefully they get to get unemployment. And why are there budget cutbacks? I don't like this. We need to give more budget, more money to education, because this is an extremely important thing for the kids. There's no reason we should be cutting, you know, this is the teachers, but also we need more money for the arts programs, the music and the art and all those lots of different things. And so, because some kids are arty and some kids are for, you know, the humanities, English, and some kids are good with math and science. You need all these different things in the schools all across the world so they can all get a good education. Please and thank you. We shouldn't be excessing anything when it comes to school. We should be adding more. Okay. The next word is excessive. This is an adjective from the 14th century. It means exceeding what is usual, proper, necessary, or normal. And this is very similar to the other form, just excess, which was also an adjective. The definition is almost exactly the same, but for some reason, we prefer to put the IVE at the end. Excessive. That sugar is excessive. Maybe you should hold off on the sugar because it's not so healthy for you. Or maybe you should excess some of your coffee per week so you then have less sugar. That's what I have chosen to do. I don't want to limit my enjoyment of this drink, but I will limit how often I have it. Okay, good job. Excessively is an adverb, and excessiveness is a noun, and there is a whole bunch of synonym information. So, here we go with the synonym information. Excessive, immoderate, inordinate, extravagant, exorbitant, and extreme mean going beyond a normal limit. And I think for every single one of these, we should think of the sugar in my coffee. It is excessive, immoderate, inordinate sugar, extravagant. Ooh, that sugar is extravagant. It's putting on a show. And exorbitant and extreme. Okay, let's get into each one of them one by one. Excessive implies an amount or degree too great to be reasonable or acceptable, as in excessive punishment. Punishment. I think most punishment is probably excessive. I don't know. I guess it depends on why you're punishing them. What did they do? What is an equal amount of punishment per activity? Activity might not be the right word there. What's the thing? Anyway, immoderate implies lack of desirable or necessary restraint, as in immoderate spending. Ooh, you're going beyond. You have no restraint on your spending. I'm pretty good with my spending, so I don't have this immoderate spending, but there's a lot of people who just love spending money. Inordinate implies an exceeding of the limits dictated by reason or good judgment, as in inordinate pride. So what was the thing again? Implies an exceeding of the limits dictated by reason or good judgment. So wait, so you're saying that there is a certain amount of pride that is that's good, that's that reason tells you that there is, you should have this much pride, but you are not allowed to have any more pride than that, because then it becomes inordinate. Too much pride. Interesting. So, you're good. You're talented. You should have this much pride. You should be this proud. But for some reason, you are acting this proud. You are way up here on the pride scale. That's inordinate. That's too much for your skills. Bring your pride back down here. Extravagant implies an indifference to restraints imposed by truth, prudence, or good taste. you're like, oh, this is what's good taste. But I have no restraint when it comes to good taste. I like to go beyond good taste, get into the tacky, because I'm so tacky. There's an example. Extravagant claims for the product. These maybe this is false advertising. There's you're going beyond the truth of what this product is. So that's why it's extravagant. Exorbitant implies a departure from accepted standards regarding amount or degree, as in exorbitant prices. And I don't know why, but I love this word, exorbitant. It's a kind of a weird and fun word to say. Exorbitant. Okay. These prices are exorbitant. They go beyond the accepted standards. This apple usually costs this much, but for some reason you are charging this much. These prices are exorbitant. Extreme may imply an approach to the farthest limit possible or conceivable, but commonly means only to a notably high degree. I'm going to read that one again, just for you. You're the one, you know. Extreme may imply an approach to the farthest limit possible or conceivable, but commonly means only to a notable high degree, as in extreme shyness. I used to have extreme shyness. I still am kind of shy, but I'm a lot more conscious of it and am much more willing to not be shy. So, you know, if you're feeling shy and you don't like it, you're like, I feel like I should be more out and more extroverted. Don't worry. Keep on working at it. In due time, your extreme shyness will just be regular shyness. It's extreme because it's... I can't reword it. I don't want to. Okay. There is no etymology because it's all from the word excess. So we're going to move on to the next word. I have an excessive sound effect today. I didn't mean for that to happen, but it's a little excessive, don't you think? Okay. The next word is E-X-C-H. Exchange. It's an abbreviation for exchange or exchanged with a D, with an E-D at the end. Exchanged. The last word is the word exchange. First form, E-X-C-H-A-N-G-E. You can pronounce it exchange or exchange. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, there's a lot of definitions. Number one, the act of giving or taking one thing in return for another, and the synonym is trade, as in an exchange of prisoners. This is, I believe, what is hopefully still going on in the Israel-Palestine-Hamas-Gaza situation. They took some hostages, and they have given away, they have exchanged some of their hostages for some prisoners that I believe Israel has, or America has, or somebody has. I don't know enough about this stuff as much as I should, yes, we will give you some prisoners, and you will give us some prisoners, and then we're both happy. Number two, A, the act or process of substituting one thing for another. And isn't that basically the same thing as the first one? The act of giving or taking one thing in return for another, and the act or process of substituting one thing. Okay, so I guess in the first one, you're swapping with another person or another group, but this one is you're substituting. So I will exchange my sugar from my coffee, and I will replace it with salt. And first of all, I don't think that's possible because the sugar is all mixed in. It's been absorbed into the liquids, so I can't take it out. But if I could, if I exchange it with salt, that's going to make that coffee taste blah, just nasty. 2B is reciprocal giving and receiving. So I guess that's when you are giving something and receiving something. So you got two people and you both give to the other person and you both are receiving something from the other person. It's reciprocal. It's going around in a circle or something. Yeah. Three, something offered, given, or received in an exchange. So if you are exchanging something, maybe exchanging gifts, maybe it's a Secret Santa, the actual gift exchanged is the exchange. 4A, funds payable currently at a distant point either in a foreign currency or in domestic currency. So when you go travel to another place that doesn't use your same money, you have to exchange your currency for the local currency. Let's see, I have done this many times, either for personal or work. Well, not so much work. They usually help out with that. But so if you go and you go to an international airport, there are places there that will exchange the money for you. But that's the probably the worst place to do it because they're going to charge the highest fees. You're going to get the worst exchange rate. We're going to see exchange rate in the next episode. There are places in a city you could go exchange your money there. But again, you know, that might be okay. You might get an okay exchange rate. What we tend to do, I mean, first of all, we use our credit card because I think you're going to get the best exchange rate there. You're not dealing with cash and stuff. It's maybe safer in a lot of ways. We exchange our money beforehand. We go to our bank and we say, hey, we want to give you 27 US dollars and I want to get the equivalent yen. So I don't know what that is. So can you please exchange those for me? And they say, yes, we'll have that for you in a few days. And then I go back and I pick it up. And I don't know how this exchange rate compares to other things. But maybe we should have held that off until the next episode. So yeah, exchanging money. 4B1, interchange or conversion of the money of two countries or of current and uncurrent money with allowance for difference in value. I don't know, still has to do with money, exchange in money, but I don't know what uncurrent, is that just like it's just not current anymore? It's old? Number 4B2, this synonym is just exchange rate. What exchange did you get? I got an exchange of 4.2. What about you? Oh, well, I got an exchange of 2.1. That's a big difference. 4B3, I'm sure it's still going to be about money. The amount of the difference in value between two currencies or between values of a particular currency at two places. I don't know, it's all in the same world. I don't know exactly what we're talking about. 4C, this might also have to do with money. Instruments, as checks or bills of exchange, presented in a clearinghouse for settlement. Settlements, I don't know, I think of like some legal situation, maybe in the legal world, this is the context that they're using the word exchange. Checks or bills of exchange. 5, a place where things or services are exchanged. You gotta go to the exchange to do some exchanges with exchanges. As 5A, an organized market or center for trading in securities or commodities. Oh, I don't know, like the stock market exchange. That's a place where they're exchanging securities and commodities and maybe bonds and other money things. Seems stressful. 5B, a store or shop specializing in merchandise, usually of a particular type. So I guess what sort of exchange is that? Specific type of merchandise, you go, what are you exchanging? Are you trading? You bring in snowshoes and they give you gym shoes? Or are you exchanging money for these things? That's what most places are like. I'm trying to think of an exchange, a store. I'm trying to think of a name of one. The blank exchange. The shoe exchange. I don't know. Number 5C. A cooperative store or society. A co-op. You go, there's a lots of different types of co-ops. I don't know. Maybe they got, what is the definition of a cooperative store exactly? I don't know. We read it a couple of years ago. It's cooperative because, I don't know, maybe there's people volunteering. Maybe you can exchange things. You can trade. I got this and I need that, so let's do an exchange. Maybe there's local people who are making stuff and they're bringing it in to sell. So many different possibilities, but yes, it's an exchange because maybe there's a lot of exchanging and trading of goods and services. I'll give you some honey if you give me a massage. 5D, a central office in which telephone lines are connected to permit communication. So the thing that's being exchanged is literally the telephone communication stuff, the electricity. You plug it in from one place, you plug it into another place, and you're sending the signal from one place into another place, and so you are exchanging it. Is it called the telephone exchange? I don't know. In exchange, this is a phrase, which means as a substitute. As a substitute. There is no substitute for this podcast, so you can't exchange it for something better. Nothing better exists. This is the pinnacle of dictionary podcasts by Spencer, specifically. I'm trying to think of how you use that in a sentence. I'm going to give you, there we go. I'm going to give you some salt in exchange for your sugar. There we go. As a substitute. The etymology says this is basically just from Anglo-French, échanger, échanger, which means to exchange. From the Latin ex plus cambiare, which means to exchange, and there's more at the word change. Because you're changing one thing for another, and then the ex, for some reason, we like to put the ex in front. I'm going to change it. Okay, we're going to get into the second form of this word in the next episode, plus a bunch of other words. So now the time has come, to pick a word of the episode, because I read all the words. All right, today we had excerpt, excess, excess, excessive, and exchange. Which one? Excessive, exchange, excess, excerpt. These are all great words. I love them. I'm using them every day. Not really. Trying to think of which one do I connect to the most. An excerpt? I'm not really taking excerpts from things. Excessive? I don't know. Maybe excessive. It's fun to be excessive sometimes. I feel like I've probably started a lot of songs by saying, it's fun to be, and then fill in the blank. Excessive, it's fun to be excessive, because when you're singing a song about excessive, you can go, it's fun to be excessive! Yeah, that was excessive. Okay, let's talk about a movie, because sometimes you talk about movies in a podcast about words. The next movie on the list, and it's the last one, I better watch a movie tonight, because then I'm not going to have one for tomorrow. Dial M for Murder. This was the second movie of a double feature that we did with Double Indemnity. Dial M for Murder. It's Hitchcock. It largely takes place in one apartment. It's kind of like a sitcom where they've got like the three walls and then no wall, no fourth wall, and that's where all the camera and the gear and stuff is. And it's good. I've never seen it before. Lots of stuff to talk about it, but I'm not going to do that now. The one thing that I will say is there is this classic shot of a phone and the guy goes to dial a number because he's going to call somebody up for some murder. He's maybe going to exchange murder for something else. And there's an M, you know, on the phone. There's each number has letters assigned to it. And he goes to dial this one number and there's an M on there. And I believe it's a quick shot. But if I was looking correctly, I believe that they made a very large phone and then a very large finger that they brought into the shot to go dial. It didn't look like a real finger to me. I need to confirm this in the trivia, but I believe he wanted it big and bold so that he could see all the detail on the M for murder. And then I believe there was a fake finger that came into the shot and a nail, you know, that whole part of the finger. Anyway, that's all I got to say about it now. Maybe someday I'll talk about it more. This is the end of the episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. Please, please, please go share it. Subscribe to the YouTube. Do all those things. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.